Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the CEO of JetBlue is under fire for giving too much to his customers and not being willing to take it back. Amazing but true. If you like to fly JetBlue, stay tuned.
At 3:15, we take you to Albuquerque in the land of up, up, and away. Ever wish that you could be part of the country's largest hot air balloon fiesta?
At 3:35, Gwen Duncan has a Deal of the Week replay. What's a Deal of the Week replay? You have to listen in at 3:35.
It's a week in the desert. Over 60,000 people from all walks of life come to commune together. It's Burning Man, and we're going to talk about how it's become a world-famous phenomenon and big business for a lot of Reno folks. That's at 3:45.
People are making money on Burning Man out of Reno. Burning Man, lots of hot air and things that make you a smarter traveler. It's the most entertaining hour of radio of the week. It's time for the Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
You bet. Welcome, everyone. It is another edition of the Travel Guys here live and in living color, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left from Sports Leisure Vacations, I might add. Tom Romano from pretty much everywhere else.
Do you notice something different about the studio this week? The big old hanging thing that was right here in front of where I sit, you said this is the... Who sits here?
Well, you know, I discovered that Amy Loomis, who used to sit there, doesn't any longer. Kitty O'Neill primarily sits.
So they
at
had
location.
This thing here, which raised the table basically,
yes.
And I think allowed someone to stand here, and you could stand up and do the news.
That's correct.
And I'm guessing that some people prefer to do that. When I used to do 3 hours in the afternoon of sports talk radio, I used to like to stand up, so I get that. But so now we're back to sitting down, and now we're looking across at each other.
Well, you know, at the other building before we moved here, we had stand-up consoles, and when they moved here, they chose the sit-down, and we still have a few people that...
That like,
you know,
to stand
and
up.
And ergonomically for them, it's more comfortable. So, and I think Kitty stands a lot of the time. By the way, last week, if you recall, there was the gum story.
The gum story.
For those
story.
That might have been listening, Mark had found a piece of leftover gum.
That's right. It was right on that stand.
Yeah, had parked that. By the way, I wanted you to know one of the first questions that was asked me on Monday was, does Mark chew gum?
You see, I told you we would get blamed for that.
Yes. Well, I informed them that wasn't the case and that it was already here. And so you'll know, for those who were listening, I told you I would report back. No, it was not Amy Lewis's gum. That was made clear when she came in and found it on Monday. And whose gum that it belongs to, we'll probably never
know.
Because whoever it is, I know if it were mine, I don't know if I would fess up. But it was not mine. I want to make that publicly clear, or Mark's. So we're off the hook.
We
and
just found it. We left it as a courtesy in case someone came back for it.
Painting a picture for you.
Absolutely.
Well, let's do this. We've got lots of stuff to do, and we don't want to cut Gwen off short again.
Again.
So let's get on with it.
Let's
Music
do.
Maestro. Ladies and gentlemen, time for what we do every week at this time, Mark Hoffman and the Travel News.
Wow. Wow. I like this so much better than that cheap band that you used to have come in and do the little thing.
Thank you.
Listen, we led with this in the headlines. The CEO of JetBlue is a nice guy named Dave Barger. He's been the CEO since 2007. He's been with the airline since 2 years before they had their first flight. And he is under a lot of pressure. We were talking about this, Tom, before we went on the air, and I was explaining to you that what's happening is that his investors, his money people are coming to him and saying that you can't do this first bag free stuff. You can't be giving people all this legroom on airplanes. You can't be doing all of this. You can't be having this free TV sets in the backs of the seats. This is not good. You could be charging for this stuff. You could be making money. Everyone else is charging for it.
Well, they see an opportunity to make more money off of the services they provide. And the CEO, what's his position?
His position is that so far he said, no, that's not the way that we do business. And it's JetBlue has always had the reputation for being an airline that's a little bit more user-friendly than some of the others. They don't have a tremendous amount of service in and out of Sacramento. They have an overnight flight to New York City, and which is only on time about half the time because it comes from New York City at the end of the day. So it's a tough turnaround. And then they've got a couple flights a day to Long Beach where you can connect to New York or Boston cross country. So they don't have a lot of service from Sacramento. They're nice people. They're fun to fly with. They're kind of like Southwest. But this just seems so unfair. This guy is caught in this situation where if he continues to do for his customers what sets him apart from his competition, the money guys are trying to run. They're basically trying to have his head.
Well, I give it, I think the outcome will, they will take his head.
I think that you're probably right. I think you will see within just
or
a matter
there will be changes.
There will be changes. JetBlue will start bundling fares with things that you don't need and charging you more money for them and convincing you that you really did need that in the first place. For example, they say adding a first bag fee would add 26 cents a share to their annual earnings. So if you own 100,000 shares of JetBlue stock, 26 cents a share is a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go and tell that CEO that, you know, this is the way it needs to be. But who stands? My only point here is just who stands for the traveler? Nobody. Here's one airline that's kind of doing a pretty good job, kind of doing right by people. And they not only get no credit, this guy may go down very well in flames. Anyway, that's my soapbox for today, I guess.
All righty.
All right.
I'm with you.
And here's airline loyalty right behind that. Airline loyalty. Why do people choose an airline? 28% say it's nonstop service. This was a report done by the Business Traveler magazine. 28% say nonstop service. 20% say convenient departure time. 15% say the airline reputation. 11% say frequency of service. So, to your point, when you asked me off the air, well, do United and all these guys lose service because they treat people bad and they charge them all these things? And are their airplanes empty? And the answer is no. Only one out of seven people, according to this, are choosing an airline for the airline itself.
And what do you, we know what the survey says.
Yeah.
What does Mark say? What is most important to you? Now, keep in mind, listeners, each and every one of you, Mark is an elite flyer. He flies like 265 days out of the year. So his travel needs are a little different than Tom's, who flies three or four times a year.
I would say that I choose an airline because of whatever airline I've married into their frequent flyer program for all those years. I mean, because I'm stuck. And although I will tell you that increasingly airlines are allowing higher level travelers to do what they call a challenge. And in a short period of time, you can fly them. And if you fly a certain number of flights in a 3-month period, they will match your status with the other airline and you can be grandfathered across. And I'm that close to making that change myself. And I would fly JetBlue if they had more service here from Sacramento, but they just don't. I mean, I occasionally use them for groups that are coming or going to Southern California with great joy because their fares are generally a little lower and they're just nicer people to work with.
Best options for price and, shortest flight.
When you get to where you got a lot of miles with a certain airline and a lot, then they've got you by the private parts. I mean, they really kind of do. And it's you don't have a lot of options there. But for the traveling public who can make an open choice, JetBlue is a good choice because the prices are fair. There just isn't a lot of service from Sacramento. But if you're going to Long Beach or you're willing to take an overnighter to New York City and not have to make a stop and get there first thing in the morning, why, then it's a great thing. And if you're going to go down to Long Beach, you're going to find that the fare is cheaper than it is on most of the other carriers, and you're still going to get your first bag free, not your second one, but your first bag free like you do on Southwest.
It's Long Beach. You only need one bag.
All right. First class flyers are going to get nickeled and dimed a little bit more. American Airlines has announced that instead of serving meals on flights of less than 2 hours, they're going to increase that to 2 hours and 45 minutes starting soon. Starvation in the sky is coming soon to a first class cabin near you. Here's a new app that lets you trade for a better airline seat, Tom. It's called AirTrade, AirTrade. AirTrade. It's not up and running yet, but it's going to be run by a third party. You would go to the airport, log on to AirTrade, see if anybody else wants to trade a seat. It's kind of like that parking thing in San Francisco.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to give your seat to me and I wanted to give you, say, 20 or 30 or 50 bucks for it, then we would have a transaction in the waiting area. And when we got on, we wouldn't trade anything until we got on the plane. And we got on the plane, I would sit in your seat and you would sit in mine and you'd have my money. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that might work. You know, Southwest has the boarding pass and you have a boarding pass with an A, B, C, or D. Have you ever seen anybody try to either swap out, trade, buy off?
No, but people save seats on Southwest, and that's a whole other issue that we need to get into someday.
Well, they're not going to save it for you if they don't know you.
Well, probably not. But, I mean, people could swap. Yes, people could swap Southwest. Now, you see, there's a great idea for an app. You should create a Southwest swap your seat app. If you've got number 117, why, if you've got C62, well, no, it wouldn't be that high, C58, why, then you can get one of those lower boarding passes, and I won't charge you $45 like the airline, and I'll just charge you $20.
There you go.
All right, quickly, a few headlines. Virgin America flight attendants have voted to form a union. I had there was a catchy Virgin and Union line in there somewhere, but I couldn't come up with it. But anyway, Delta has upgraded their lounge food as of August the 14th last week. Delta is unveiling a new menu of complimentary breakfast, lunch, and dinner items in its airport lounges. Marriott is downsizing its next mega bonus promotion, which is a sign that that hotels are full. Delta Airlines has a new credit card worth 50,000 miles. We told you about a Marriott card worth 70,000 bonus miles last week. That was a pretty good deal. And Frontier is scaling back some of its elite perks, which really doesn't matter to people in Sacramento because Frontier doesn't come here anymore. All right, that's the travel news for today. And Thomas, coming up after the break, we're going to go talk to that man about the hot air in Albuquerque.
And there you go. Up, up, and away we go on the Travel Guys in about 3.5 minutes. Be ready.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. He's Mark Kaufman. And well, what did we say ahead of time, Mark? Two guys with a lot of hot air talking to a guy about hot air. And we're talking Tom Garrity, Director of Communications with the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. And welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you very much. It's great to be amongst hot air specialists.
Yes, thank you very much. Do you get a lot of hot air jokes being in the business you're in?
One or two, yes, but we kind of vent it as needed, so you know.
Tom, Sports Leisure Vacations has a group of folks who are coming to the Balloon Fiesta. We do this on a pretty regular basis. This year, our folks are doing some traveling in the south part of the state to see Carlsbad Caverns before they come up to the Balloon Fiesta. But this is something, Tom, it's open to the general public, and people come from all over the country, and dare I say from the title, from all over the world, the 43rd year of the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta. Tell me what makes this the biggest and the best.
Well, you know, it's the area and the pilots and the people that come out to visit the event. You know, when this event started, 43 years ago, it was really, it started out as a radio promotion to celebrate the 50th anniversary of a local radio station. But it kind of grew on itself because Albuquerque is the perfect place to fly hot air balloons. There's a phenomenon here called the Albuquerque Box. And what it does for the spectator, it allows balloons to take off and land from the same location, which from a spectator's perspective is great because anywhere else in the country, all you have to do is watch the balloons take off and they leave. Here, they just circulate overhead, sometimes for a couple of hours.
One of the events at the Fiesta is called a Glodio. Now, I have never been, so despite the fact that I've sent hundreds of people to the event over the years, and I've never been and I won't be this year, so I've seen some pictures, but tell me a little bit about what is a Glodio?
Well, a Glodio, to understand and appreciate a Glodio, and by the way, thank you very much for sending so many people to visit us. It's fantastic. We have so many great visitors and guests here. To understand a Glodio, you have to understand first the Mass Ascension, which is our signature event that I just described, that we have 550 hot air balloons all leaving Balloon Fiesta Park to work the Albuquerque Box. The Glodio is actually a combination of special shaped balloons, of which we have 100 special shaped balloons this year, and regular shaped balloons in static display. So the great thing is that the balloons all inflate just as the sun is setting over the Mount Taylor and out to the west of Albuquerque. It's just a magical scene as the balloons basically become lanterns on the 270-acre balloon park to basically light it up. And so they're in static display. There's a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and all the pilots hit their burners at the same time, and the dark becomes bright as day. And it's one of the signature events of the Balloon Fiesta.
That sounds absolutely amazing. Tom, besides, obviously, I mean, the sight of the balloons and the beauty of it all and the fact that they all kind of stay in that one area has got to be really awesome. What else is going on? Is there music? And are there opportunities for folks to actually take hot air balloon rides in any of these?
There are. You know, there's lots of activities on the field. If you wanted to be able to get a ride, Rainbow Riders is our official ride concession. And the second weekend of Balloon Fiesta is probably the time that's still available to go up to get a balloon flight. But obviously, flying from the balloon field is one of the things you can do at Fiesta. We also have close to 100 concessionaires and vendors up and along Main Street selling everything from everything you could ever think of that has a balloon tied to it. We also have the Artisans of Fiesta, which is about 80 artisans of a juried show, and that's down in the southeastern part of the field. If you want to see a wedding take place, we have that at the Blue Sky Pavilion. Who knows, you might catch the bouquet if you're not careful. but of course, there's always food, and food is the signature item at Balloon Fiesta is the breakfast burrito. And one of the things that your guests will want to keep an eye on is the question of red or green. And they're asking about the kind of chili they'd like to have on their breakfast burrito. So my suggestion is always go green. It always has more flavor.
Well, there you go.
Tips.
It's great
culinary
advice.
Tips for the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta. Tom Garrity is our guest. Tom is the communications director for the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta, which celebrates its 43rd year in business this fall in early October. It's an annual event, something that folks come to from all over the country. Tom, there's a special area that I know our group has bought into. People can, of course, you could pull over your automobile and watch the balloons from the road, I'm guessing, and probably a lot of people in Albuquerque do. But for folks who are going specifically to the festival, there are special seating upgrades and a thing called the Chase Lounge. Tell us a little bit about how the different ways that people can experience the fiesta.
Well, you know, and you know, the Chasers Club, the lounge is really one of the great places to watch the Balloon Fiesta because you basically get to sit there and watch the balloons take off. That's, of course, one of our venues. Another way to enjoy the park, which a lot of people do, which your guests can do as well, is just get out and walk around Balloon Fiesta Park. You know, you don't need to keep this. I mean, you always need to keep a safe distance, but there's nothing that's roped off. You can actually go up and talk to the pilots and just mingle around. So, you know, there's always a chance to, you know, experience Balloon Fiesta from either a very comfortable seat in the Chasers Club, or you can go out onto the field, make sure you have comfortable shoes and that you dress in layers because, you know, it's kind of cooler temperatures before the balloons go up. As soon as that sun comes over the Sandias, it will start to warm up a little bit to the mid-70s. So it's always good to dress in layers, but lots of different ways that you can explore Balloon Fiesta. And of course, the best way to explore it ahead of time is through the website balloonfiesta.com.
And we will have a link also on travelguysradio.com to the Balloon Fiesta if you're driving around and you want to reference that later on. Tom, this sounds like just an incredible event. I have wanted to go myself for I don't know how many years, and one of these years I'm going to actually get down there. Hotel rooms, we should tell folks, in Albuquerque for this event tend to be a little bit more expensive than usual, but not ridiculously expensive. However, hotel rooms do book up and will be in heavy demand those first two weekends in October. So if you're planning to go to the fiesta from out of town and you're going to need a hotel room, it's something that you probably need to get on now because it's you wait too long, why then it's going to be awfully tough to find something.
Exactly. That's very well said. You know, when you look at Albuquerque and you're trying to book your rooms, keep in mind that Balloon Fiesta Park is in the north part of Albuquerque, just north of the Journal Center area. You'll probably a lot of things to do around Albuquerque, but you know, folks will want to book in the uptown area. The Sunport, or the airport is what we call it, will have a lot of hotel rooms. They have a lot of newer hotels there. But you know, the thing with Albuquerque is everything's 10 minutes away, and unless Balloon Fiesta is going on, then it's 15 minutes.
There you go. And we will, Sports Leisure Travelers will be at the Marriott Hotel for 3 nights in Albuquerque. So if you're interested in going with us, you can go to travelguysradio.com and there will be a link there to the Sports Leisure Vacations Albuquerque balloon trip. Or if you'd just like to go on your own, we'll have links to the website. Tom, thank you so much for a really informative interview today. And I hope to get to an Albuquerque sometime before too long, but a group of our travelers will be down there in just a short time.
We look forward to hosting them. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And Mark, I sure hope your road reporter give us a report back on this when they return from the trip.
I think we will. We'll get a live report from the event when it happens, I promise.
Once again, hot air, talking about hot air. That's us. We're the Travel Guys.
Tom, have you ever been on a hot air balloon? Ever wanted to take one of those?
I do want to take one. I never have. And every time there's a little... you know, raffle or whatever, that whether you're giving away a hot air balloon, I enter.
Maybe we should have a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to send Tom off in a hot air balloon, just like we did with Lyft and Uber one day. We'll send you out of the studio in a hot air balloon.
I will report live from the skies.
You all got right. After
I'm
the,
in.
After the news, Gwen is here with the Deal of the Week replay, and we have some great things to tell you about that are tied to our website at travelguysradio.com. But first, Scott, with an update on all of the news regarding the earthquake in Napa today, you are listening to KFBK.
Mark's favorite returning bumper music.
Good Lord. I don't even know what that is.
Shocks people out of there. What does that music have to do with travel? Do you know what that is? I don't even know what it is.
It's the song does have a travel name. I can't remember. Let's move on.
Okay.
We are the Travel Guys, pumping you up here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Every Sunday at this time, we do have a website. It's the travelguysradio.com, travelguysradio.com, where you can see all the stuff we talk about every week. In fact, we keep it almost sort of live from week to week, and then you can also check past shows, podcast them there. Mark, you got some interesting,
well,
an interesting video.
We put some new stuff on the web every week, so whenever we have a guest, like you can find information on the Balloon Fiesta there, you can find information on Sports Leisure's trip. You can find the Deal of the Week. We've got the Burning Man thing that we're going to talk about is linked there. I found a really cute video on, doesn't have anything to do with travel, but Little League's first female player years ago. So we included that there. Sometimes we include things that are just fun. Today I found this thing about a new bartender in a box, a robotic bartender that is looks like a soft drink machine, may do away with you might want to look at that. And then there's a video that's really cool there. It talks about dishonest baggage handlers and how it shows you how baggage handlers can get into your soft-sided suitcase extremely easily, even no matter what kind of lock that you have on it.
And when you watch this video, you'll say, I've had a zipper do that. And it has to do with the fact that, you know, zippers, they're made of plastic and will come apart. And everybody at one time or another, probably on their luggage, it gets bound and it comes apart. And then if you take the zipper and force it, you can put the zipper back together. So this video depicts a guy basically opening
a
bag.
How they can get into your bag very quickly. And you would never know they were in there.
With his ballpoint pen by and this is a locked bag, he'll jimmy it open with the point of the pen. Rip the zipper open, take out what they want, and then take the locked zip, re-zip it, re-shut it. And now I know our listeners are following this in their head. And you know how to repair those plastic zippers by zipping over it and then returning the zipper.
Yep, and that's exactly how that is. I'm going to bring a suitcase in next week and see if it's that easy. You and I will do it right on the air here. We'll see if that's easy. But anyway, travelguysradio.com is where you can find all of that stuff in addition to podcasts for all of the previous programs, which are brought to you sans commercials so that you can listen to them in even a little shorter time. All right, let's move on here. Our next guest is Gwen Duncan. Gwen joins us every couple of weeks, and she's here in studio. Last week, Gwen, we had, I thought, a really interesting Deal of the Week idea for people, and we were really hurried, and we had some confusion late in the game, and a guest that didn't call in, and stuff like that, and so it was mass chaos last week. So I asked you if you would come back this week, and you were courteous enough to do so, and tell us about this amazing deal on this Clipper ship, this cruise that we have that really is a great Deal of the Week.
Thank you, Mark. What I was talking about was the Star Clipper Cruises, and they've got promotions right now that you have to make your bookings before August the 30th or September the 2nd. And this is for the Caribbean, for the Venice round trip and for Monte Carlo to Barcelona. These are air inclusive, which is a real rarity. You leave from the West Coast, you can leave from San Francisco, air included with taxes. And it's a special experience if you're a sailor.
So what's the price?
Oh, good.
What's the price? I'm always a bottom line deal.
Caribbean from San Francisco, $19.95 round trip, including air for a week.
Okay. You have to pay the port charges on top of that.
Yes, you have to pay the port charges.
So that's a pretty good deal to be on. This is not, let's put 5,000 people on a boat and sit it out in the middle of the ocean kind of thing. This is, I'm sorry, a ship. The boat is the thing they lower when the ship is sinking. That's all I was always told. So this is a different kind of experience. And Tom, you were looking at the brochure earlier and talking about how you're kind of you're a sailor. You have a sailboat that you go out on occasionally, and that this is the kind of thing that might appeal to you, Mr. Older sailor.
Absolutely. Gwen and I were talking before we went on the air that you get to participate. You get to help put the sails up. You can even go up into the crow's nest. This is an active sailing kind of adventure. Tell us more, Gwen.
Well,
you've been on the ship, right?
I've been, absolutely, and it's just a wonderful experience. What I can tell you is that if you're into scuba or snorkeling, it's an excellent. If you're into culture, they go into the smaller ports and the uncommon ports where the bigger ships would go into. You are tendered on some of them, and you've got to expect some wet landings where you will walk from the tender onto the shore in water.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Get the wade to shore.
That's cool.
I wanted to tell you about those specials, though. They also include a European ones at $23.99, and the one from Monte Carlo to Barcelona is $24.99, including air. And if anyone's familiar with the overseas air, it's quite high.
Wow, air is like $1,400 to get overseas
right
now. So getting a cruise
with
the airfare, and that was one reason I asked Gwen, Tom, to come back this week so that we could be a little more polite and talk about this on the air. This really is a great deal. And things like this don't come along very often, and I'm not selling it, so it's not. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and there's a link there, or you can go to Cordially Yours Travel. What is that? GoCyTravel.com.
GoCyTravel.
And Gwen has a link there, or you can go to our website, it'll link it to you or whatever, but you can find this very special deal. Yes, sir.
Now, Gwen, based on the prices that you have, we're talking about how that this includes air. So we're talking about roughly $1,000 probably less for each one of these cruises. If you had to go out and part it out yourself,
bit less for the Caribbean and a little bit more for Europe.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have negotiated a special deal for anybody that books that are listening to this show. And you book before August the 30th, actually September the 2nd, then we're giving additional $50 per person. And if somebody books one of these specials, and I'm giving a leather document holder per cabin.
Wow, this is just like on TV, Tom, where it's like,
yeah. You get a $50 onboard spending credit.
Okay, the bottom line is, if you've ever wanted to go on a sailing ship, this is a terrific deal. So you can go to gocytravel.com or travelguysradio.com and find the deal there. And really and truly, take a week-long trip on a sailing ship in Europe for about the cost of an expensive airline ticket. So it's about as good a deal as it comes. Thank you, Gwen. Hey, Gwen, before you leave, I wanted to ask you here. There was a thing that said travel agency sales are up 5% ahead of sales for 2013. You're a travel agent, and you belong to a group of travel agents up in the foothills, home-based agents. So is that true? Is business better than last year? No.
Actually, it is. I ask on a fairly regular basis how business is going amongst my TAPS members. Last year was about a 15-20% increase for my own agency. And this year looks like it's going to be closer to 30%. I mean, things are really, really moving up. Most of the things that we're selling, what is selling right now are riverboats.
In Europe, river cruises
river
in Europe.
Boats.
Yeah, and our own company is about to announce one on the Rhine River. That's a tulip cruise in the springtime. And we're looking at another one for the fall next year. No, the riverboat cruises are definitely very popular. And we should probably do a show just on riverboat cruises and try to get four or five of the different companies on here and talk about all of them in the fall before people are buying for next year.
And these are riverboat cruises that aren't in the States.
Not in the States. They're in Europe.
Okay.
Per se, although riverboat cruises in this country are making a comeback too.
Mississippi, all of that.
Yes, and now there's a boat up on the Columbia River now that's about to get going again. So, yes, you can take a river cruise without going over an ocean, but if you're willing to go over an ocean, it has become an incredibly popular way to travel.
Fascinating. What would you say is second on that list? You got your riverboat cruises?
It would be, I've got an awful lot of people wanting to go to Australia, Ireland, and Italy. Those are our three top ones for our international.
We just had a group of people in our office yesterday getting ready to go on a trip, a sports leisure trip to Italy with Clayton Whitehead. He leaves in a couple, 3 weeks. He goes over there and takes them to the Vatican and throws holy water on them.
It's a wonderful destination.
Yeah, he reported on our program from there.
From there,
a couple
yes,
of years ago.
Exactly. So, Gwen, thank you very much
thank
for that
you guys.
Deal of the week.
One last
ship.
Yes. One last question here. I have never done this. I have sailed, but and I've been on other boats. Do people prone to get seasick on these kind of ships versus the large thousands of people cruise ships? Since they're sailing ships, there's going to be a little bit more movement, I would guess. What do you think?
You know, I don't believe so. Okay. Usually the people who go on there are active and they're used to going on sailing or regular boats. But no, I haven't. There wasn't any problem when we went. And it's a great experience. They're small ships, 177 to 227.
And that's the best thing. I was on a similar ship, Windsong ship, Windstar
ship. Windjammer Barefoot, I bet.
No, the Windstar.
Oh, Windstar.
And that was about 150 people, 100 people on board out in Tahiti is the best week of my life. I mean, that's 20
awesome.
Years ago.
That's
it was
one of the best ways to do Tahiti.
All right, we got to move along here. When we come back after
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Gwen.
When we come back after the break, we are going to update you about the guy. Remember the guy last week, the story about the guy landing the airplane and his prosthesis was falling off?
Yes.
We have an update on that story, and we're taking you out in the desert to Burning Man, and you don't even have to get all dirty and smelly. You can listen to it on the radio. We're the Travel Guys. We'll be right back.
You know, John forgot to mention that you can get the Travel Guys on your iHeartRadio app.
You absolutely can, no matter where you are.
Any place in the world, the most informative, entertaining hour of radio anywhere on the planet.
3 o'clock Pacific time every Sunday.
There you go. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom. He's Mark. Mark, before we took a short break there, you were mentioning you had a follow-up on the story of the pilot who lost his prosthesis.
Exactly.
And still was able to land the plane.
We told people about this last week. It involves a low-fare airline in the British Isles called Flybe. And this gentleman was flying a plane, a 46-year-old pilot. He lost control of the plane in dark and windy conditions. And while he was trying to bring this turboprop plane, you say that three times fast.
There you go, turboprop.
With 47 passengers down in Northern Ireland, his prosthesis came loose. One of his arms came loose. And so immediately when I talked about this last week, when we got off the air, a friend texted me and said, okay, the story about the pilot, why didn't he ask the co-pilot to help him?
Right, we discussed that.
Because he was sitting there. And the answer to that is that he didn't ask the co-pilot. He made a rapid assessment of the situation and considered alerting the co-pilot and instructing him to take control. However, because the co-pilot would not have had time to take stock of what was happening, he decided the best option was to continue one-handed. He did this, but with power still applied and possibly a gust affecting the aircraft, a normal touchdown was followed by a bounce from which the aircraft landed heavily. So you probably had this happen to you before. You know, you touch down fairly gently, and then the plane comes up, and then bam, you know, everything comes down at once. So other than the fact that it was a little bit of a jarring landing, he landed the plane with one arm, and they went through this to see if there were any safety violations or this was any kind of an issue or anything, and they decided that it wasn't, and he would just be more careful to make sure that his prosthesis was more firmly attached before he went up in the air, and, you know, everybody lived to tell about it.
And,
so,
you know, I mean, it does take a little while to wake a co-pilot and get him focused in.
And I don't know if he was asleep or whatever, but it just says the pilot was a senior captain and one of the airline's most experienced and trusted pilots, and the airline considers it to be they've put it to bed. So they're
Where's Henry when we need him?
Speaking of Henry, Henry Bernanke, who is an airline pilot for Virgin America and appeared on this program a couple of times in its first life. And we've been talking to Henry about coming on. I got an email from Henry yesterday, and he was asking what dates we were going to be live in September because he's got his September schedule. So hopefully Henry will be in the studio with us because I have a whole lot of questions to ask an airline pilot.
All right, Mark, you've been to Burning Man several times. No,
I have been to Burning Man. And Burning Man. No. Let me just say this: I've been by Burning Man.
Okay. I've been to Burning Man only in the documentary.
I
don't think I would want to go any other way.
Burning Man. I have two friends who go to Burning Man every year. I'm sure they are out in the desert as we speak. One of them is a stockholder, investment advisor here in town. Another one's a retired post office worker. Both are good citizens the rest of their 51 weeks of the year.
Now, for those that may not know what Burning Man is,
yes.
Paint a 45-second picture before we talk about how profitable it is to the Reno area.
You go out in the middle of the desert. It started in 1986, and an artist and his friend somewhat spontaneously built and burned an 8-foot-tall figure on Baker Beach in San Francisco. So 4 years later, local authorities are getting kind of uncomfortable with the gathering's getting bigger and bigger, and the burning object is getting bigger, and so the festival moves northeast into the desert, 100 miles northeast of Reno. And that's where it's been ever since. It now costs $380 to be there for a week. And it is 60,000 plus people in the middle of the desert with no electricity, no running water, no visible means of infrastructure.
I think if for those that may have seen specials on Woodstock.
Yes.
That would probably be the closest thing.
That was the Ritz-Carlton next to Burning Man.
Possibly so.
Because those people could get in their car and drive a short distance probably and get to a service station or a hotel room or something like that. You're out in the middle of the Nevada desert, so that's not an option.
100 miles from pretty much anything.
Pretty much anything. And I mean, now this year I see they're having 600 flights into their temporary airport there. You can, just an example of how much business this is for Reno. You can fly Advantage Flight Solutions and BlackRock Air will fly you to Burning Man for $600 round trip from Reno. And Burning Man charges an additional $40 for people arriving by air. That's probably in order to prepare the airstrip, I'm guessing. But this is becoming a deal where all these big corporate guys now, it used to be, you know, the poor man's, it was for all the people from, you know, we went and did the magic bus in San Francisco. I'm going to suggest to you this is another version of the same thing.
There you go. Us leftover hippies.
Yes, going out into the
reliving
desert.
Reliving our hippiness.
Your hippiness. And so now it's becoming, apparently, all this big corporate stuff. They're running shuttles from Reno out there. Last year they took 2,000 riders. This year they expect to take 5,200, more than double, are going to take a bus out there just to make it more ecologically friendly. You know, you go out there, and a lot of people now rent RVs. Every RV in Northern California, Northern Nevada is rented this week. If you're trying to get an RV to go someplace the last week of August ever and you can't figure out why you can't get one, this is the reason you can't get one.
And there's a big, big business in selling and renting bicycles because that's the number one form of transportation besides your feet to get around at Burning Man.
Once you get, once you get out to Burning Man, the thing is you have to have a good bicycle, and you can rent a bicycle in Reno for a week for $75 to $95, or you can buy one. This guy at the bike shop, he gears up for the whole thing. He will rent 800 of them at $75 to $95 a piece, and he will sell 200 of them for $175 and up in the week leading up to Burning Man. There's signs at the Reno airport. A large banner has been up there for several weeks that proclaims Burning Man, and as though it's the, you know, the sole reason to come to Reno to visit. So these guys, $35 million they estimate that Burning Man pumped into the Northern Nevada economy last year. So it is big, big business. I mean, these folks going out in the desert and being goofy for a week is, and the funny thing is, we've talked about this on the program, Tom, they come back in from the desert, and they come in, and they've been out there for a week, and they've had, you know, limited ability to shower and things like that, and these people are, you know, when you're around things like that, you don't smell your own smell as much as other people would detect you from a distance, and these folks are all coming back into the rib cook-off at the Nugget at the end of the week to get some grub.
Well, I know you guys are doing the rib cook-off,
we
so
are,
I, need,
but we go
I need to follow.
In the week.
Oh, yours is before the Burning
Man.
Yeah,
okay. We're out of town before the Burning Man
nice
people come
timing.
Back.
Nice timing. Good timing, sports leisure travelers. You're going to be okay. By the way, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There is a some quirky facts and figures, some of the stuff we were just talking about, and you can check it out right there on our website.
There's also an interesting story there on the website at travelguysradio.com that we didn't get to today. Mythbusters debunked the dilemma of how airlines board planes, and they have decided, I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version, they have decided the best way to board them is window seats first, middle seats, aisle seats. That boarding from the back to the front doesn't work because people who sit in the aisle seat have to get up and let the other people in, and they have decided that is what slows down the system more. That they literally set up fake airplanes and did fake boardings in every different way. You watch the there's a video there. Go to travelguysradio.com and scroll down under show highlights, and you can see there where Mythbusters debunks the dilemma of how airlines board planes.
You know, you're talking about those that give specific seat assignments, correct?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, well, Southwest, that's not a problem.
No.
Southwest boards an airplane, they estimate 12 minutes faster than any of their competitors. They estimate it saves them some tens of millions of dollars a year because they can put their planes in the air faster because they don't have to worry about who is sitting where. So some people like that system, some don't. Anyways, we have one piece of business we need to take care of here. We need to decide who the lucky sports leisure traveler is this week. It's Valerie Cummings. Valerie was on a trip up to Oregon and Washington, off the beaten track in Oregon and Washington and Idaho about a week or so ago. So, Valerie, if you're listening to the radio, your $50 gift card can be $100 if you call the Sports Leisure office next week and tell us that you heard your name on the radio. Valerie Cummings, congratulations to you. Next week, I'm headed out, going to take a little baseball trip with the Giants and the A's.
And, go Giants! Didn't have a great day today.
Hopefully, things started well.
Yep.
Went down the tube fast. And
I expect for you and your sports leisure travelers to bring back nothing but wins from Colorado.
You think? We are having the big, speaking of sports leisure vacations, we are having our big preview day right here at the DoubleTree Hotel 2 weeks from yesterday. So if you haven't gotten registered for that, there's about 75 seats left out of 700. You can call our office at 361-TOUR on Monday morning, and it's a $10 admission fee. It's on Saturday the 6th. If you're a mature traveler and you're interested in traveling with a top-notch tour company, you might want to check that out, or you can go to sportsleisure.com and find out all about it. That wraps up a great edition of the Travel Guys. Thomas, thanks for coming in and joining me today.
You bet, Mark. Wouldn't miss it. We'll be here next week, same time, same place. Let's check in with Scott, find out what's going on over in the Bay Area following that earthquake in the morning. You stay well. We'll see you next Sunday at 3:00.